Good afternoon. This is John Richardson speaking with you from Toronto, Canada. Today is Sunday, February the 6th, 2022. And the opposition to FATCA, U.S. citizenship-based taxation, etc., continues on and continues more and more at what I would call the grassroots level. And my guest today is Amy Purcell, who hails from Sydney, Australia. And she has had the misfortune of recently learning about her U.S. status and the impact that that has had on her life in Australia. And she joins me today to discuss that along with the advocacy efforts that she is working on. Welcome, Amy. How are you today?
Thank you so much for inviting me, John. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. And I invited you, of course, because of your hard work on Twitter and the interesting post that you had on Facebook.
Thank you.
I mean, it's really great to see, individuals who are not sort of, more formally connected with this problem in some way working on it. But, I guess the obvious question is, why are you interested in this anyway? There aren't that many people in the world who spend a lot of time trying to contact U.S. politicians and complain about things like FATCA and citizenship taxation. So I guess we better go right back to the beginning. I gather you are accused of being a U.S. citizen. Is that correct?
I like the way you use the word accused because that's exactly how it feels. And yes, that is what my situation is. I am a Australian US dual national because my mother was an American. And last year I got the proverbial tap on the shoulder from my bank advising me that I have reporting and tax obligations to the United States. This left me feeling angry, really shaken up, and I just did not know what to make of that.
Well, let's just break this down a little bit. I mean, you're very accurately capturing, I think, the combination of horrible emotions that come from the so-called "oh my God" moment. But let's back up a little bit. So, you're born in Australia, is that correct?
Correct.
You lived your whole life in Australia, is that correct?
Yes, never lived anywhere else.
Have you ever been to the United States?
Only for holidays and visiting family.
How many times do you think you've been to the United States?
Maybe, I think seven.
Seven times? Okay.
Yes.
And how long did you spend in the United States each of those seven times?
It varies. Sometimes the shortest time I've ever been was 10 days, and the longest I think was bit over a month.
So even on the most maximal interpretation of this, the most time you could have spent in the United States your whole life would be about 7 months. Is that correct? Even if you went a month every time?
Maybe, yeah.
And for some of those seven visits, were you like a little kid?
The first time I went, I was 3 months old. So obviously my working capacity was rather limited.
Mm, I don't know if we should count that. Okay, what about the next time you went?
After that, I was four, then I was seven, then 14, then 16.
Well, let's hold up for now. How many times, let's define adult as being age 21 over, okay? How many times have you been to the United States after the age of 21?
Three, actually. I forgot one when I went in 2007. But no, it's hard to get over there when you're working and you've got a life and everything. So I'm not as good at visiting my family as I should be.
Whoa, now let's talk about that for a minute. So you say that you work and have a life in Australia.
Of course.
Have you ever earned any money in the United States?
No.
Do you have any assets in the United States?
Not even a bank account. No, nothing.
What exactly is the connection that you do have to the United States?
Extended family at this stage. My mother's passed away. So it's mainly to see my aunt, see my cousins. It's kind of the reason why at this stage I'm retaining citizenship. I'll probably never go and work there though.
It's okay. That's interesting. Okay. So you apparently became an American citizen because you were born to a U.S. citizen mother living in Australia, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, may I ask generally, so you're educated in Australia. You mentioned that you have a couple of university degrees in Australia. You're employed in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you said, and this is how long ago was this that you got this tap on the shoulder?
Late March last year in 2021.
So like March of 2021, after all this life and all these years, somebody looked at you and said, are you or have you ever been an American citizen? Is that correct?
Pretty much.
What was your reaction to that question?
Anger, confusion, all of those types of emotions just flew through me because I could not understand. I've done banking my whole life in Australia. Here we get bank accounts while we're small children, and it never came up, not once. And yet randomly out of the blue, they're like, you have to give us your social security number or we're cutting off your access to your funds.
Unbelievable.
That's what I thought.
Did you agree that you were an American citizen when they asked the question? Or did you say, why do you want to know? Or?
I answered truthfully because it never crossed my mind that something like this would actually be happening. And then when they told me what it was, I couldn't believe it. I felt sure the bank had made a mistake because this is the United States of America we're talking about. They've always been so respectful towards their citizens. They care a lot about privacy. I felt sure that the bank was stuffing up somehow. And I called them out on that. I told them how non-compliant they probably were being and that they should check the rules before they start speaking to me like that. And the poor guy that I was talking to, he was just so cool and calm. He just said, I'm sorry, Amy, but this actually is the law and it's actually international. And that was the very first I'd heard of it.
Did it occur to you that it might not be a good thing? At that moment, did it occur to you it might not be a good thing to be a U.S. citizen?
Strangely, not yet at that point, because I was still convinced the bank was in the wrong.
Well, what happened? Did you go ask some third party saying, hey, I just had a conversation. Can this really be true? What did you do next?
Well, I started by asking around some other American contacts I have here to see if they'd heard about this. And sure enough, they had. I started reading up on the internet about the FATCA legislation and what it meant, as the gentleman at the bank had told me was the case. And that's what I found. It looks like it's all true. Then I started ringing around this tax agents in Australia who are capable of doing US tax.
And what did they say to you?
They confirmed that, yes, indeed, this is true, that I do have these obligations, and stressed to me the importance of following the laws and what it may mean if I don't, meaning that, you know, the IRS could come after me with penalties and all kinds of things. And the tax agent I found was a bit more forthright than that, because up until this point, I had figured, okay, I must provide a social security number and I must file, but I'm at no financial risk. That's when she told me that apparently if I sell my house here in Australia, the US government can charge a capital gain. There's no chance that any tax treaty or any double taxation, whatever, can save me from that, because Australia does not charge capital gains tax on its primary residence. We charge it on investment residences. So if I go to sell this, and the Sydney market has been, shall we say, booming over the past few years, that is a problem for me, because I would then have to sell this, pay a good chunk of tax to the United States, and then try to find somewhere else to live.
With less money, right?
Correct. And I am worried about it. And in a
Amy, you got to understand that Americans abroad are permanently downwardly mobile people because of these problems.
I understand that very well. I see I have joined the ranks.
I mean, how do you feel about the idea of somehow being forced to pay any kind of tax, let alone capital gains tax, to a country where you have never lived?
I am furious. I feel like they're the ones cheating us. They accuse us of being tax cheats. They're actually the cheats.
In other words, you do not see this as sort of truth, justice, and the American way. Or you may see it as the American way, but not justice.
This is not at all what I was taught America was like.
What were you taught America was like?
I was always taught that America was this very fair country set up by the people for the people. And then if any kinds of injustices would come in, somebody somewhere would eventually try to sort it out. And for that reason, these kinds of unfair legislations and things like that would have to come to a stop sooner or later in a place like America. But
what do you think about what most Americans think as well? You're a citizen. You know, that's a great privilege. You have to pay for that.
Well, I'd like to see what benefits they'd like to give me for it. Max Steiner, in the Twitter chat that happened about a month or so ago, he pointed out that in the event of some kind of an incident, the US Marines would come and save us.
Do you believe that?
Not a word of it. Not one word of it.
Why not?
Because, number one, how often do people get into situations like that? And number two, when it does happen, regardless of the person's nationality, any country that can help does help anyway, and the payment gets sorted out later, irrespective of tax status. Tax does not go hand in hand with being saved by the military anywhere in the world.
So can you describe, you know, just your emotions, your feelings as you're going through what's commonly referred, what people call this, oh my God moment, this can't be true. Help me with that a little bit. I mean, I think I know what you want to say because I've heard it so many times, but you know, this is important. So tell me how you were feeling. So, you know, 5 or 6 words that would describe it.
Disbelief, anger, fear, shock. Just the entire family of emotions, because it's just what the United States have done with FATCA and citizen-based taxation. It's the kind of thing when you first hear it, it can't be true. It sounds so spacey. There's no way a civilized democratic country could condone a law like this.
Well, there is the country of Eritrea that also has citizenship taxation.
I feel sorry.
Okay. So what you then did is, you know, you were talking about going to these tax agents who, you know, in sort of their surgical, objective, non-emotive way told you presumably about all the penalties you could be on the hook for.
Mm.
Okay. So you, at the end of the day, decided that you would file U.S. taxes. Is that correct?
Yes.
That experience.
Oh, expensive to say the least. I was advised to do the streamlined amnesty program, which means you file your last 3 years of taxes and your last 6 years of bank accounts, the FBAR. And at a rate of $650 per year for her to do the tax, I was required to do my own FBAR, but she gave really good instructions. That comes to, plus the GST, which is the goods and services tax we have here in Australia, that came to over 2,000 Aussie dollars when you factor in the tax.
Your source of income in Australia is, you told me that you were an employee, correct?
Yes.
That's where all your money comes from? You work for a living?
I work for a living.
So I'm guessing that when you file these returns that you didn't actually owe any U.S. tax at all. Is that correct?
I was told I do not.
Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. Now, so, you know, it's interesting. Many people in your situation, not having been born in the United States, you know, do their best to ignore this. You didn't. It is clear that this was had. You were basically told that you were not going to have access to your bank accounts if you didn't do this, correct?
Correct.
or rather more precisely, if you didn't supply them with a U.S. Social Security number.
Exactly.
Did you have a U.S. Social Security number?
No.
So you had to go get one?
Yes, from scratch.
Could you couldn't even have filed the taxes without a U.S. Social Security number, right?
That is correct.
So tell me about the experience of getting, was that an easy thing or a hard thing? Or how did you get that U.S. Social Security number?
It was the most time-consuming experience of my life. I had to make an appointment with the U.S. consulate, which also meant taking a day off of work because you just never know how long these things are going to take and they can go on well and truly past the appointment. So I needed the entire day. Also, the U.S. consulate is in the center of Sydney, whereas I live on the outskirts. So I've got to allow a lot of travel time, hence the entire day off of work. And the process in preparation for that appointment literally meant that I had to provide original documentation proving I had never lived lived outside of Australia, or more specifically, never lived inside of America. I had to go find my original school records, original employment records, original medical records, and I had to get an original birth certificate from the New South Wales Birth, Death and Marriage. That cost me $70. Plus, I had to, again, go an hour out of my way to pick it up in person because they won't accept a copy. And then the appointment went easily enough. I had to log in carrying my life story, literally from birth, preschool to the end of high school, end of university to current moments, and lug it all back home again. At which point I had to wait then 3 months for the IRS to send me my social security card. All the while, I have the threat of having my bank account cut off. But I don't even know if I should share this information, but I probably will. What I did was I transferred the money to another bank that had not yet threatened me with FATCA and closed the account with the bank that had actually threatened me. And then when I got the social security number, I just logged in and very discreetly put the social security number into all of my banking details, so that way I was compliant. But I felt like a criminal doing it that way because I knew I wasn't being entirely truthful. And with a bank, that's a scary thing to not be. But what am I supposed to do? I've got to have access to funds to pay my bills. So I had to do it that way. I can't let these other people cut off my bank account just because I don't have a number that hasn't been provided to me yet.
You know, Naomi, you say, you know, that you're feeling like a criminal. I mean, let's talk about this for a second. So you live in Australia. You're employed in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that Australia, for anybody in the United States listening to this, please confirm, does Australia have taxes?
Of course.
Are they high taxes?
Oh, so high.
Now tell me, do you file a tax return in Australia every year?
Every year.
Are you a law-abiding person in Australia?
Absolutely.
Now, the reason that I ask you this series of questions is this. Let's go back to the shock of learning about this.
Mm-hmm.
What wasn't part of it, okay, that, you know, you regard yourselves a totally above-board, law-abiding person in Australia, and isn't part of the problem that all of a sudden you were made to feel as though you were a criminal?
Yes.
Imagine being made feel like a criminal.
Yes.
In your own country because of laws of a country you don't even live in. Is that an accurate statement?
It's not a fair situation at all, but I think your statement and your interpretation of it is spot on.
It's the American way, isn't it? It's the American way. Now,
same.
Okay, so you've done all this and you made the decision to file a tax. You don't owe any taxes. I mean, obviously, has this been a life trauma for you, this whole thing?
Yes, it actually has. I've been speaking to doctors and other kinds of professionals about my sleep, which has been very badly disrupted because of the stress brought on by this. And It's also caused a few social problems because a few of my friends, quite frankly, are just tired of hearing about it, because the stress that this has caused me means that I am really not thinking about it. As you all would know, you see me on Twitter all the time and Facebook all the time, and this is the only thing I talk about now, because it's just stressful.
I mean, it's changed your life, hasn't it?
It really has.
You are not even the same person you were before you got that tap on the shoulder, correct?
I don't think that's a fair statement.
Okay. So, you know, I want to thank you for your honesty on this. I really do, because, you know, you are expressing very, very well the experience of millions and millions of people around the world.
Yeah.
You know, and this is all, it's not FAFCA, it's because of citizenship taxation. You know, that's the problem here, right?
I've understood correctly, FATCA is used to enforce citizen-based taxation.
That's right. That's right. Okay, that's right. Okay. So you've got to move beyond this stage in your life because you cannot be caught in this for too much longer. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. And this is why I'm made the decision to engage in the types of activities that I have been doing to try and do whatever I can, however unlikely the outcome, to try and do something about citizen-based taxation and FATCA.
Okay, also, you know, that is fantastic, because most people run and hide or cut and run or whatever. And so I really want to, as clearly as I can, express how much I admire you're willing to deal with it in this way, rather than running in a way that other people will benefit. And I have seen you on Twitter, I have seen you on Facebook, and I think that you're doing a fantastic job. I really do. So congratulations on that. And thank you for that. I think that many people owe you a great, great debt. So, you had a post a day or two ago on Facebook expressing what? What were you talking about?
I was finally lucky enough to get an appointment with a United States politician.
Just one sec, please, Amy. Why are you using the word luck? Wasn't that the result of hard work, focus, diligence?
Thank you, John. Yes.
I'm going to do the lead in here because you're not doing it properly. Okay. Kind of like this. So I'll lead in, then you pick it up.
I'll stand corrected.
So as a direct result of Amy's dedication, hard work, focus, perseverance, and unwillingness to give up, what happened?
Well, I saw that there were some candidates on the Democrats Abroad Twitter page who were from Texas. So I just put a note there saying, are you aware of the issues faced by citizens abroad regarding taxation and the onerous reporting? Actually, I think I even used the word draconian. But one of the guys, Jeremy, he came back saying, yes, I've lived abroad before and the taxation was pretty bad then. I think it's probably worse now. And I was shocked. Somebody actually replied, and it was a positive reply, and much, much improved on Max Steiner. And then he said, well, unfortunately, I'm state, so I can't really help. So I'll tag some federal colleagues in. And he did. And all of a sudden, David Anderson was following me and a couple of others who'd been involved in that post. And then I got brave. I said, would anybody be willing to talk to me about this? And David came back saying, you name the time and the place, I'll be there. I was left speechless. It was amazing.
No. Do not be speechless. The answer is great. Thank you very much. Here are some times. Pick one.
Oh, I shot him straight through with the time. I gave him the one option I figured I could do. And then he said yes to that. And I started talking to some other people who were involved in this movement as well. And one gentleman that I've been talking to was kind enough to suggest that I speak to Anne-Marie Bizzuto, who's currently residing in Switzerland, and she's originally from Texas, so she relished the opportunity to speak to some Texan representatives about this. And so all three of us got on this call Saturday morning, my time, late Friday afternoon, their time. And David was really quite impressed by the situation that we have had inflicted on us. His exact words were, the IRS are like a schoolyard bully who could do anything they want to and the teacher does nothing.
Okay.
That's a good. Powerful statement.
That is. Okay. All right. So now before we continue with that, it was interesting to me to read the comments, some of the comments on the post. And, you know, it's never ceased to amaze me how you get these people in these Facebook groups who are actually negative.
Nothing will come from that. Why are you wasting your time?
Like, what? Yes. Why don't these people just shut up and get out of the way if they don't want to say anything positive?
Well, that's exactly what I think. And I beat back on some of those people as well, because I know how unlikely this is in the long run to succeed, because David might find he tries to help but then can't, or 30,000 other things might get in the way preventing him from doing it, or he may even think on it and change his mind. I am very aware of the risk of I have probably just wasted my time, but these people need to be aware that I wasted my time if that happens. I did not demand anybody else join me on that call, although the invite was out. So if they don't like what I've done, how are they getting hurt by this? And half of them don't have other suggestions of things that I could have done that might have been more effective anyway. And I still appreciate the good comments that were there, the supportive ones that were there. And some people were really thanking me and offering words of encouragement. I'm going to focus on what those people said. And the way I see it, these negative naysayers, they're probably hurt. They're probably very burned. They've probably done things like this themselves in the past and got the proverbial door slammed in their face. If that happened to them, I'm sorry. They didn't deserve it. But if somebody else is willing to have a go and get out there, it's not going to hurt them to let me do it. So,
or to be encouraging.
That's right. If they can't, weren't they taught if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all?
Oh, yeah.
They need to calm down.
It was bad. There's no question about that. But, you know, I thought your response was exactly what it should be. It's sort of like, you know, I mean, here's the thing, Amy.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, this is going to change. Okay.
I believe it will.
It has to. It's so ridiculous and idiotic. The only thing we're betting on is time. That's it. And every person like you who takes the time, the initiative to do something helps, and the people who complain hurt, right?
Right.
So in a very real sense, I think the progress on this is actually being impeded by all the people who say, oh, this could never change. No, you're wasting your time. You know, they're actually impeding it.
I think that's a very valid point.
Okay, so where do you... Sorry, go ahead.
They could get out and do something, yeah.
Sorry, repeat?
They could get out there and do something themselves, no matter how small it is, rather than telling me not to.
Well, they won't. Unfortunately, what we're dealing with is just sort of human nature. That, you know, anybody who's trying to advocate for change, I think in any cause, I've seen this time after time, has two fights going on. Okay.
Yeah.
The first is the obvious. Okay. The people are, you know, where you're trying to get the change, you know, say on the US side. But the other group that you're fighting are the people who actually would be the beneficiaries of it, who for some reason or another want to create, you know, negative headspace for you.
I know, it's mind blowing. I mean, why would they not want somebody to try?
I don't know. Maybe because it reminds them that they're not.
Maybe. But if they feel that bad about the activities that people are doing, why even be on an anti-factor Facebook page?
Good question.
get off of it and look at something you do want to look at.
Not a bad idea. Yeah, if you don't have anything, what'd you say? What's that saying? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything or whatever.
That's right. But I intend to focus on the good comments I've had, the support that I've had, the support that I had in the lead up to my meeting with David. These are the things that to me really kind of keep me going and keep me encouraged. And I really appreciate that. And while I've got this chance, I'd like to say a great big thank you to everybody who was involved in that.
I think that's fantastic. Well, I think you're doing some great, great stuff. No question about it.
Thanks.
And now you've done so much great stuff that the expectations are very high for you, Amy. When the U.S. moves to residency-based taxation, I expect your picture to be right there along with the legislation.
I think yours will be there first, John, with all the work you've done.
Oh, no. You're much better looking. All right. Well, this has been really great. I really enjoyed the chance to speak with you today. And I really admire and enjoy the energy that you bring to this and the clearness of expression, all that stuff. So I thank you very much for that. I hope that you are able to use this effectively to work your way out of sort of the psychological and emotional disturbance that all this has clearly caused in your life, like so many.
Yes.
And, perhaps we can talk again. But, in closing here, why don't you sort of express some kind of a message, okay, to all the people caught up in this, and particularly all the accidental Americans who have been damaged by this? What would be your message to them?
I would like to say that the way we are being treated is so unfair. We have the right to be angry. We have the right to speak out against it. And we have the right to keep trying to change this law. And I believe that we will succeed because this law and citizen-based taxation as a whole is just so unfair that as soon as it becomes mainstream knowledge within the world, it will change because the United States government will be so embarrassed to have such a draconian law. They would be furious if somebody else did that to their citizens living in their country. They would think it was a human rights breach. But when they do it, they don't have a problem. But that will change as soon as people become aware of this and they are embarrassed into that change. While they might have intended to do this to go get the billionaire tax cheats, it hasn't worked. They've also got that embarrassment too. We're the ones in the right. We've got the right to work for this. So don't give up. Keep going and do whatever it is you think you need to do to get through this.
My final question for you, Amy. 2 years ago, would you have foreseen that you would become a leader in an international anti-FACON, anti-CBT movement?
Wouldn't necessarily call myself a leader. I'd call myself more like an online pest, which I'm really enjoying doing. But no, jokes aside, I would not actually have foreseen this because I never believed in my wildest dreams that the United States of America would ever have a law like this.
Not only do they have it, Amy, but they've had it for about 100 years.
Yes, I am aware of that now.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, this is fantastic. And, as you continue to do great things, maybe we can have some more podcasts.
Thank you so much.